I'm Lorene Morick, and welcome to Eye on the Arts Preview. And we have a really special artist for you today, Andy Anha. And I've seen his work for a really long time. Actually, the last time I saw him, he said, "How did you find me?" So I found him at the Beverly Hills show. Then I followed him to the Malibu show. Then I invited him to our show. And here he is, the birthday boy, Andy Anha. Thank you for coming.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to talk about your art. So how long have you been doing this kind?
This particular style, I guess, for the past about, it's been a culmination of about 5 years, you know, just experimenting and creating. But I've been pretty much, I found my niche probably like 2 years ago, so it's been very comfortable, just easy going now. So
did you go to art school and have this whole big art background, and then you just found your passion, or you created this style to work for you?
Well, I mean, I did go to art school. Mm-hmm. It was University of Tennessee, so it's not
You're
like a
Texan.
Huge art show.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's not a big art school, but they had a pretty good arts program, and the reason why I really loved it was like they were very liberal, open-minded. You know, the art professors were, you know, artists themselves, you know, just working artists. So they kind of led you in the right direction, but didn't really control what you were to do. Like, they didn't tell you what to do. They were just very free. Just do what you want to and just create. So
that was a good environment for a guy like you.
It is, yeah.
So tell me, this appears to be only three or four colors.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get these three or four colors onto the, is this canvas? It looks like
wood. It's wood.
Oh, it is wood. Yeah. How do you do it?
First I select the woods myself. I go to the hardware stores, I pick them out, make sure they're all straight and even, not warped, you know, things like that. And just make sure the texture is real smooth, because what I do is I paint flat.
And do you hammer the frame together yourself?
I do, yeah. I went to the hardware store, I got all the tools, I love it, you know, yeah. I have like, air compressor, I have, you know, all the hammers and saws and everything. So I build them, you know, I build these myself, and then what I do is I lay it flat, and I just kind of look at the overall dimensions of the piece. Like, this is 3x4 feet, so I just visualize in my head what would look best compositionally, like with a balance, symmetry, and all that. So I take a look at it, I set it flat on a table, and I start just applying different types of paints, like acrylics, oils, things like that. And
so first, like, you would do one coat of acrylic,
yeah,
to get all the surfaces even.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would begin putting other colors and other
mediums.
Techniques.
Yeah, other techniques, mediums, things like spray paints, oils, and it's just a mixture. They just kind of run together.
You do the process while it's wet.
Yes, oh, definitely. But I set it to the side to let it dry, and then I pull it back out to see how it looks, and then certain areas I'll add some more elements to it, you know, more mediums to it, just to kind of give it that look that I was trying to achieve, which I really don't know what it's going to look like at the end, because it just kind of naturally just works on its own. But I have a sense of what it should look like at the end.
So you're looking for something organic when you make this kind of thing.
Yes.
So this could be like under the sea or...
Yeah. Definitely.
Up in the universe or something
the
like
air
that.
Anything. And this one, I mean, with the colors alone, like the green, so I kind of think of moss, how it kind of just grows and spreads. And some people even think these are like kind of like roots going into the ground, the brown areas.
Yeah.
And so the green could be like the grass or whatever it is, you know. And so I mean, I make these in blue as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that, more people think that's like a, you know, like a Google Earth image the ocean. Or even the underwater currents have like, where waves crash into the coral and the sand, and there's just like a mixture of, you know, different, you know, elements that just come about naturally.
How many paintings do you do at the same time?
As many as I can. I mean, as many as my studio can hold, which is about 200 at a time. So
like, do you put on the music?
Yeah, definitely.
Start squirting the paint.
Yeah.
And
I mean, it's
jumping
a nonstop
around.
Process. I mean, I probably work anywhere from like 15 hours a day just continuously. And it feels like 2 hours a minute, you know, I'll go outside my studio and it's completely dark. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, it's,
you get
what
lost
time is
in it?
Yeah, but I love it. I love it. You know, it's what I do, and I enjoy it, and time just flies by, so it's great.
Are there any other artists in your family?
Oh, there are. Well, actually, all of my siblings are artists. So, but only my brother John, he's the only full-time artist as well. But my sister studied like art history in college, and my two older brothers, Jeff and Chris, they were pretty good artists in high school. So I kind of just learned from them and just, you know, picked it up,
so,
and followed the older siblings. Yeah,
maybe there's something genetically, like you have art and others don't.
I think so.
But at least they have the ability to buy art at our art shows. You know, here in Calabasas, we do this big art show every year, which Andy will be a part of. And so many people just from around here come and buy our art and are looking for different kinds of work, and both traditional and non-traditional work. So we have a wide variety of people that come here just to see our art and meet great artists like you. The painting behind you is a big red flower.
It's a lotus.
A lotus.
Yeah.
So, and the background just looks like wood. So did you just like shellac it?
I did.
Oh.
So it's, you know, the wood is actually the actual piece of wood that I used to create the canvas. And the grains in the wood are natural, so all I did was stain it. And so, you know, I chose to use the darker color because I think it works best with red. It's kind of complementary. And so I slack it with a wood stain, and then I cover it with a couple coats of polyacrylic, just to smooth it out. So I'll sand it, apply another coat, sand it down so that's real smooth. Then I apply the paint on top. And once that's dry, you know, I apply the acrylic polymer on top, the really heavy finish, the gloss.
And does it take many coats to do that?
Just one.
Just one.
You mean the finishing
gloss?
Yeah, it's just one really thick coat. So.
Ooh, it's beautiful. And now that you said lotus, I'm really getting the lotus idea.
Okay.
And this little piece of work behind me, how did you do that?
Well, that's a very similar process to this red lotus, except it's more or less the reverse, you know, I guess the reverse technique. So instead of painting the lotus flower on top, like the one behind me, I paint at the background so that the cherry blossom will be exposed. So all you see is the wood grain, and then the paint, you know, is the actual, like, on top of the wood grain.
Well, I know that you do, like, groups, or what do they call it when there's three?
Triptychs. Yeah.
Is that something that you're, like, known for, or just I know?
You know what, actually, my triptychs are probably some more of my best sellers.
Yeah.
You know, I think that the individual panels, you know, being separated just gives it another visual, you know, effect that is just mind-blowing because they all connect in a way. And then, you know,
that's what I noticed too. You know, my cousin bought your work and she has it over her bed.
Okay.
And it's so gorgeous. And at different times of day, like it seems to be shiny, and at other times it doesn't seem to be shiny, and and it's so nice in her room. It doesn't like interfere with her furnishings, but is so noticeable when you enter her room. Like your eye just goes right to that art.
That's great.
You're cool, Andy. Very cool.
Well, thank you.
And I noticed that you have paint all over your hands. Are you working right now?
I am. Well, I work all the time. Probably after this, I'm going to go home and work. So.
And do you live close by?
Tarzana. Not too bad.
Not too bad at all.
I'd rather be in Calabasas. I love it here.
Well, maybe after one day. Sell out.
Maybe one day.
You sell out, you move here, it'd be perfect. Do you ever do figures on this, like people or Buddhas?
You know what, I don't, but in some of these paintings, the Line Series paintings, people do tend to see images in them. I mean, you just really have to look for them and they come out, and it may be subconsciously, but I don't do it, you know, purposely, paint an image, but I used to paint, you know, portraits all the time. Like throughout high school, college, a little bit, you know, now, you know, here and
now
there.
And again. What kind of music do you listen to when you're painting this?
You know what, my iPod is just like a...
You're just plugged in.
Whatever. Yeah. It doesn't matter. I mean, as long as it has good rhythm to it, you know, so it keeps me going. It's kind of like a heartbeat, you know, it just keeps on going on a steady pace, and it just keeps me going, and I just
I love
create.
Them. Do you use mostly primary colors?
I do.
And do you have like the blue period, the green period? That's what it looks like, kind of.
Yeah, you know what? Right now, green is probably my favorite color that I like to use. But blue has been a staple. And then the reds for the lotuses.
Oh, yeah.
I usually do the red lotus.
I've seen the white lotus, too. When I was at one of your other shows, I saw fabulous White Lotus.
Yeah, those are great.
Yeah, those are beautiful.
Very simple and just clean. Yeah.
Clean and beautiful and cool. Tarzana man.
Oh, come on.
Excellent. Okay, Andy. Well, it's been a pleasure to have you here.
Wish you could have me next time, or longer next time.
Well, at our show, we walk around with the camera. We'll definitely catch up on you.
Yeah, stop by. Hopefully, I won't be too busy.
I'm hoping you're going to be really busy.
Yeah, me too, but we'll see.
Okay.
It'll be
Thanks
fun.
A lot. Thanks for watching CTV. It's been great. Stay tuned. We have more programming. Welcome back to the exciting part of our show. I have an excellent, excellent artist visiting with us today. His name is Vegan, and woo, wait till you see his work. He is a fabulous sculptor, a handsome guy, all these earthy, gorgeous things. I can't wait to talk to him. So, let's begin. How long have you been doing this gorgeous work?
I'm happy to be at your show, and I started doing it about late 90s, and I went to college to study English, and I took some ceramic classes, and I started from there, and I learned high fire, low fire, different techniques. I've been learning it for 4 years.
Let's talk about like the technique that you used for this. I noticed it's very heavy. And you didn't do this on the wheel, did you?
No.
No. How do you do it?
It's a combination of wheel thrown, the bottom part, and the top part is molded. And it's called double wall bowl. It's got double walls that you can see through it. And and I got some negative space that makes the design, and overall it looks nice.
And this, the way you put the color in, it has this sort of earthy, older feeling. How do you get that?
That's the high fire technique that I'm using. First, I sleep decorate the piece, the greenware. It's called greenware. And I fire it to cone 04.
And do you have the kiln at your house? Or you take it to a studio?
To studio.
I got a studio.
You have your own studio?
Yeah. Ooh. And tell me, how do you get your ideas to make these big, magnificent pieces?
The ideas come from mythology, from history, and fairy tales. It depends.
And fairy tales?
Yeah.
Yes, like this one here in the back. Mm-hmm. It has like a boat, like a dragon, like a fire.
Yeah.
It's exciting. How did you think of that one?
This one?
No, the one behind.
The one.
Yeah.
That one is called Charioteer.
Uh-huh.
It's chariot and charioteer. There are no horses, nothing. But the main thing is charioteer. It's the movement of it.
And I also noticed that you have copper. So did you...
It's a combination of copper with high-fire ceramics. It looks nice combination, I think.
And whimsical.
Yeah, whimsical.
And sometimes these big vessels, they look like you could see these in a museum. I love it. What does this have a certain style, or what do you call this one?
It's dragon, three-headed dragon.
Yeah.
With fire behind it. And it's got claws in there, it's the duality, and three heads are, these are the mythological figures that...
So are these mythological figures that you were familiar with, or that come from your own imagination?
The ideas come when you start doing the ceramics. When I start doing sketching, and the ideas come. Let's say charioteer, this one's dragon, three-headed dragon.
And that's this beauty, that one's fantastic.
That one is called hara. It's a Japanese term in terminology, it's hara, it's center within us, and it's fire, that purification through fire. That's the main.
And this one looks like the kind of vessel that years ago they might have put wine in or water or something. Yeah. Do you ever make goblets?
Yeah.
Yeah, you do?
Yeah.
God, they're beautiful. It's,
you talk about wine. Yeah. The look of it, like, yes. it looks like wine opener.
It does. That's what I was thinking. Look,
it's just the idea is whirlpool. And just the water is centers itself. It's about inner growth.
Do you first draw your idea and then make it exactly to your drawing, or then you start going with the feeling of the piece?
Yeah, I start on sculptural pieces. These are separate pieces. I fire them separately, then combine them and put them together. This one I need to sketch. It takes about 10 to 15, 20 sketches before you start. But on this one, dragon, and that one, I sketch. I got drawings, but I do it freehand sometimes. I start playing with it and
until it arrives.
Usually the surface. Yeah.
So do you make the clay flat and then draw?
Yeah.
And then you try to get the second side?
No, I. These are molded. This one.
Oh, molded.
Hand build it. The two pieces put together, and I add extruded pieces, the heads, and this one. And finally, when I get the shape, I start freehand to put this coil. These are coils. I just add on the piece, and it's embossed looking. It's not carved. It's
two-dimensional.
Comes
really beautiful.
And I carve on top of it.
So you wait till the clay gets to a certain consistency, like it's not wet, it's not so dry. Leather hard. And then you carve the pieces.
Yeah. And then I put some slip decorated, and I fire it once, and it comes out of the kiln, and I glaze it. And that's the process. And finally, the second firing, which goes to 2350 or so, it's content, and I get this.
And then it slowly cools down, and then you take it out, and it's already this finished product.
Yeah. Sometimes I do it second firing content. It depends on the look, and sometimes the colors are. I don't like some colors.
You do it again.
Yeah, I do it again.
And then you get more dimension to your color.
More.
Who is your typical buyer for some of your kind of art?
There are many professions, doctors, lawyers.
Yes?
Yeah.
And do you think they put it like in their bookcase or their dining room like that?
Yeah, and it depends. The sculptures ones, they like to put them higher.
Yeah.
You can see them.
Do you make very tall pieces as well?
Tall pieces, sometimes. Right now I got about 42, 3 inches piece. It's in the working process. But I did some, but the tallest ones are something like this, about 30 inches tall.
Do you think, do you ever do garden art?
Garden art? I did sometimes.
You did, yeah. I could see some of this outdoors or in your gazebo or I don't know.
Yeah, this one, the sculpture ones. You make bigger ones. Sometimes it's because they're monumental pieces. They look like monumental pieces.
Yeah.
It comes from my background in architecture. And I sometimes make this kind of pieces that you can put outside, and bigger ones.
Yeah.
We make them in sections and put them together.
Yeah, like art in public places.
Yeah.
Our city does that as well. These are just gorgeous. Just beautiful. And they come from your imagination. That's what's so fantastic about this. Look at this piece. So here's one of his, what do you call this one? Just a platter?
Yeah.
And it's so beautifully done. I mean, I would like to hang this like on a wall on a stand in the dining room. They're very, very beautiful. And this has like three figures.
Yeah, it's called Trio.
Trio?
Yeah.
That's pretty clever.
You can look at it as a family.
Yes.
And, or, I don't know, it depends. They're dancing and stuff. That's kind of.
They are dancing.
Yeah.
Well, tell me about this one. This one sort of looks like a teapot.
Yeah.
And, or a sake or something like that.
Yeah, it's not teapot. It's saucer like something, but it's called magic lamp.
Magic lamp. Oh, that's
you
exactly.
Rub it and the gin comes out.
I would love that.
Yeah.
I would love to own any of these pieces. They're so spectacular. Yeah. And I want to thank you very much for coming to our show. And we're looking forward to seeing you at future art events. And it's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much.
You.
I really enjoyed you being
thank
here.
You
thank
for
you.
Me.
Oh, I loved having you here. Thank you. Well, everybody, that concludes our show for today. And I want to thank everybody in Calabasas for watching this. I'll be seeing you soon. It's been a great pleasure to be here on CTV. See you soon, guys.